Hello, this is Tosh Comer with ENT 630. I am interviewing Armand Garcia Fresco for my subject matter expert. He is the owner and CEO of Extreme Park Adventures. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So, just jumping in, because I certainly don't want to take too much of your time. Where are you from?
Originally, I'm from Argentina.
Nice.
I came back here to do my university studies, basically.
Okay. What school did you attend?
I went to the State University of New York for my undergrad, and then I did my PhD at UNC Chapel Hill.
Nice. I saw that you have a PhD in neuroscience.
Yep.
Wow. Busy man. Mm. Okay. What do you like to do for fun?
For fun?
Mm-hmm.
Many things. Going to the movies, playing paintball, okay. Going out with my family. Mm-hmm. Traveling, just playing sports, video games, I mean, whatever is fun out there to do, I do it.
Okay, so you're definitely an adventure seeker.
Yes.
Okay, cool beans. So what are some jobs that you held in your youth?
When I was young, my first job, it's a good question. Well, I used to sell, it's kind of like the lemonade stand, but I didn't have a lemonade stand. I had a fish stand. So I had a creek in my backyard. I lived in Maryland when I was from 8 to 10. My dad was a diplomat. So we got stationed in the Argentinian embassy in Washington. So I lived in Maryland. And like I said, behind my house, we had a creek. And there was lots of fish and things. So we would catch them and then sell them for like 10 cents, 20 cents, whatever.
Oh, wow.
So that was my first, you could say, business.
Yeah, so you were an entrepreneur even at 8 years old.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Okay, what are some of the key things that particular job taught you as well as other jobs?
Well, at that time, the learning was, if I do this, I get money, right? which I carried on later on when I was in school. When I was in high school, I had like little jobs. Mm-hmm. I've always managed to, I never really worked as a waiter or as any regular job like people retail. Have always found some ways to like do more, you could say, intellectual type jobs. So when I was like 17, I started my own like little computer academy, and I was teaching software, you know, DOS and Windows and some animation programs that I knew back then. I tutored a lot. When I was in my first year of college, I would tutor high school kids, charged by the hour.
Mm-hmm.
Then when I went to college, my first job in college was actually in the computer center as a computer tech, fixing computers, you know, going to when a professor had couldn't figure out what was wrong with the computer, they would send me. So I never worked at a McDonald's or not that there's anything wrong, but I didn't like those kind of jobs, so I always figured out what can I do using my brain to make money.
Good stuff. Okay, what motivated you to really create Extreme Park Adventures, and which offers paintball, airsoft, laser tag, zip lines, rope course, escape room, gym mining, kids zone, warfare training, corporate team building, and extreme hunt? What motivated you to put it all together?
I loved playing paintball.
Mm-hmm.
I used to compete, like, you know, we even went to the World Cup, like at a national level. So I've always liked paintball, and I'm like, the places I went to, I didn't really like. They didn't have all the features I wanted. So we said, let's start. And with my business, I have a business partner. We're 50-50 partner, Mike. And we were going to start an exporting paintball business to Argentina, where I'm from. And that fell through. It didn't happen for whatever reason. But we had already registered a company and had our tax ID numbers and website. So we're like, let's just start a little paintball thing and see how it goes.
Uh-huh.
And it really started as we started with less than $5,000.
Wow.
This business, and now it's, you know, we've invested already over $4 million here.
Yeah.
But it started growing, you know. So that's how it started. You could say it started out of passion of the sport. I love the sport. And then I just started adding other features. You know, it's like, oh, what else can we do? This mm-hmm. is going well. Let's add some. Second thing we added was airsoft, mm-hmm. which we didn't even know what airsoft was. We just had airsoft players come. It's like, can we play airsoft? And I'm like, we don't even know what it is. But if we can figure it out, we'll let you play.
Yeah.
And then we added laser tag, and then we added zip lines and so on and so forth.
So your customers actually brought an idea to the business. That's yep. pretty cool.
A lot of the other ideas were from us going to shows, mm-hmm. like trade shows. We go to the Halloween trade shows. We go to the amusement park trade shows, the paintball trade shows, the laser tag trade shows. Any trade show that's out there that's involving entertainment,
yes,
we do.
I didn't even know they had an amusement park.
That's the most fun and the biggest one we have.
Oh wow!
It's actually in November. We're going there in 2-3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 35,000 people attend from all over the world, wow. and there's like 2,000 vendors. And that's where we got our gem mining idea. For example, yeah. we were there and we're like, "This is cool." And mm-hmm. we bought the gem mining. We got the escape room ideas from one of the trade shows, mm-hmm. and so.
That is awesome. Okay. You're currently the CEO, actually a 50-50 partner. You told me your first venture, but what were some of the hard lessons that you had to learn as far as
here,
growing this business?
For what this business? Well, dealing with the city mm-hmm. and permits.
Okay.
That was a pain in the butt, pardon my English. You know, because we're trying to do things and trying to get things done and fast, and when it just becomes very bureaucratic and mm-hmm. they come and inspect and they don't like the way the nail was put in, so you got to re-put that nail back again. You know, it's so that process was really annoying. So for anybody trying to open a brick and mortar type mm-hmm. business, make sure. And I've heard stories of people. We went to a show once with my partner, and there was a guy that was starting a zip line park. So he bought the land, started building the zip line. When he went to apply for the permits, they're like, you can't get them. Like, this zone is just complete.
It's not even zoned for that.
So I'm like, you spend like $500,000 to start this thing without even thinking
about
the city.
Yeah.
So now we want to do, for example, we want to expand and do a water park. But we're like, okay, nice. Let's go apply. Let's figure out what all we need from the city before yes. we even think.
Invest in that.
Yeah, and if it's impossible, we're mm-hmm. like, okay, we'll figure out in the next venture.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, yeah. So that's one of the hard things. The other hard things we've encountered here is, at first it was who my customer was.
Mm-hmm.
So I started this business, which I think it worked out for the benefit of the company regardless. We started tailoring actual players. Like, oh. I made everything. I didn't care about corporate or moms. It's like, we want the players to come and have fun. Because I was a player, and I'm like, I'm going to build this the way I would love for it to be so that I mm-hmm. am excited about playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did a lot of stuff. We would even bring, you know, pretty girls, to not say hot girls, wearing like tops and camouflage outfits just mm-hmm. to attract the young mm-hmm. dudes, basically. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, a couple of years later, and it was very tactical, very military-ish looking mm-hmm. website. But then we realized, I'm like, there's so many players that are hardcore that come.
Mm-hmm.
And we started getting complaints from church groups that wanted to come. It's like, you know, we don't want to see the girls, and moms start complaining. So we're like, maybe we need to switch. And about 3-4 years into it, we changed the name. It used to be called Extreme Combat.
Oh.
Now it's called Extreme Park Adventures.
Yes.
Not only not only because the name implies less, you know, military,
mm-hmm.
but we added other stuff that mm-hmm. we're like, it's not, you know, you're doing zip line, there's nothing combat about it.
Mm-mm.
So we changed the logo, the colors, the website colors. Mm-hmm. Now it's a more friendly, because
mm-hmm.
we realized, you know, the money in this business came basically for parents and mm-hmm. birthday parties
yes.
and corporate groups.
Yeah.
So we switched our model to okay, we got to, and that's when we said, okay, we got to add bathrooms for the ladies. Mm-hmm. We got to add like a bar and all these things to mm-hmm. accommodate parents. When we started, we had like a 12 by 12 building, 12 feet by 12 feet building. Oh, wow. That was it. So moms would come and if it was cold, they have to wait outside for an hour or two for the kids to finish. And it was bad for them. We had Porter Johns, which again, it's like the mom is like, I don't want to go in there.
So, I don't want to leave my kid either.
Yeah, so we're like, okay, we need to make this more of an amusement park mm-hmm. with an amusement park feel. Mm-hmm. You know, paved roads, no mm-hmm. clean. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. And when we did that, you know, revenue, you know, tripled.
Oh, wow.
So
what year would you say that was?
We've had a consistent growth. We're at about, since the moment we started till now, we're at about 1,600% growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. In the last 3 years, we'd had about 300-400% growth. So I would say about then.
Yeah.
Obviously, the first couple of years, it's immense growth because it's new and people are... But we've had growth every single year, at least 20% growth in a year, at least.
Yeah. So, I saw you on the 5,000 Inc. website.
Yeah, so that...
And I was like, wow, I went to North Carolina Central, so I'm very familiar with Durham. And I didn't even know about... your business until I saw that. I was like, wow, they're in Durham, that's close.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. So for that, you have to show a certain mm-hmm. amount of growth and a certain amount of income
mm-hmm.
Per year to qualify and be part of that.
That's nice.
Yeah, we were excited about that. We
I
were.
Think you
we were actually number fourth
too.
In Durham.
Yeah.
So we're number four in Durham, number 11 in North Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and overall in the country, we're like 1,500 or something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're pretty high. And to me, that speaks volumes, but you guys definitely picked a good area to to operate. Because my aunt, they used to live in Brightleaf.
Uh-huh.
And there's not a lot of business back this way once you hit Sharon Road. So I was like, oh, well, as I was driving, I was like, oh, that's a good idea. Because it's still close to enough to the city, but not, you know, where it would take away. So I thought that was pretty cool. So you did tell me a little bit of how you guys began because you were in the sport, but when did you like solidify it and say, okay, we're going to go ahead and do it? Like, yes, we have all the
like
other
when
stuff
we
want to
start mm-hmm. the business.
Yeah. Like when was like, we got all the other tax ID stuff that didn't necessarily work as far as the export business. When was it like, okay, this is our start date?
It was very casual.
Oh,
there was
really?
It wasn't like we found this piece of land which mm-hmm. now we own, but
oh, nice.
At the beginning we were renting it.
Mm-hmm.
We contacted the owner and said, "Hey, is this for rent?" Yeah. I'm like, "We want to rent it just to try out, see
mm-hmm.
a month to month type rental agreement." And we said, let's try. If it works, great. If it doesn't, whatever. It doesn't matter. And it worked.
Nice.
But it wasn't like, oh, we're going to plan. And
mm-hmm.
it was completely, you know, kind of like okay. out of the garage type thing. Type
so
business.
Were your first customers people that you knew?
That's what I thought it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't.
Really?
The first groups were... There was a couple of groups that were... One person was from people I knew and was
mm-hmm.
like, oh, yeah, I'll bring my group or my birthday party or whatever. But
mm-hmm.
First month, we made $350 when we opened.
Wow.
Which is nothing, you know.
Yes.
But I was excited because I was like, and my investment was pretty much zero almost,
mm-hmm.
except for, you know, the rent
yes.
and some of the equipment. That I started with equipment I already owned.
Oh, nice.
So
that helps.
So I'm like, let's see if it works. Great. So we cut the grass. We put some obstacles. So it was very, very low budget,
mm-hmm.
but it was a test.
Yes.
And I, so for people listening in that are into business, I would say test things out before you go full scale,
mm-hmm.
meaning, you know, is this a viable It might sound great. People might tell you, oh, it's a great idea, go for it, and you spend $500,000 and then nobody walks in your door. So test it, do little samples. And that's what we did. We kind of sampled it out. And to be honest, I started it for my personal fun.
Right.
I'm paying all these places to go play with all my friends. If I had my own little place, right, I don't have to pay anymore. And I, you know, and then I can get products at dealership price, you know. And that's what happened. And then it's, like I said, it just started growing. Oh. You know, now we get about 30,000 people a year to come here.
Oh, man. I love that. That's awesome. So, when did you, you already answered that question. Can you illustrate some challenges that you fit, or have you faced any challenges as far as building brand awareness and retaining customers in the past few years? And, I mean, your growth rate has been astronomical.
Yeah. And the growth rate has been pretty much word of mouth. Mm-hmm. We haven't really done any marketing or advertising.
Okay.
It's very little. Mm-hmm. We're almost done building everything we want to build.
Mm-hmm.
So 2019 is going to be our first year where we go full-blown marketing.
Oh, nice.
So I can't tell you, you know, what challenges I have met yet, because mm-hmm. I haven't crossed that barrier. I mean, it's been really word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Obviously, people find us. We have optimized on Google mm-hmm. for searches and that kind of stuff, but we haven't encountered any issues yet.
Right.
Meaning we get the people, but I know I can double the amount of people coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
I can get 50,000-60,000 people coming here, mm-hmm. no problem. And that's where I think our efforts next year to market are going to be, hopefully, pay out.
So you haven't seen any as far as drop in sales when it comes to season change?
I do nothing. Yeah.
Really?
No, hey, come and get your Christmas bone.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's just people know we're here.
Mm-hmm. And they still come.
In Christmas, they come and buy. Because if you want to buy paintball products, I'm the only thing. There's one store in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only other thing around in like a 50-mile radius.
Right.
So you're going to find me if you're looking for that. Or you're going to go online, which is... So you could say the online world has been our biggest
competitor.
But that's not our bread and butter,
mm-hmm.
because we sell products here, we sell equipment, but that's maybe 10-15% of our revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Our revenue here is people coming to celebrate their parties and and have the experience. Yeah.
I like the fact that you give because there are other attractions as far as Frankie's in RTP, and then Adventure Landing in Raleigh and Dave and Buster's, but you have your own unique niche that you really don't have any competitors like.
No, that's why we call it extreme. We have all the extreme. Now, there is paintball companies, there's zip line companies,
right.
there's escape room companies.
Yes, but not all together.
But we're all together, And that's been a huge... If I've stayed with just paintball,
mm-hmm.
my paintball revenue is $500,000-$600,000
oh, wow.
per year. That's what I would... That's all I would make, right? If I just stay there, because
mm-hmm.
I think I'm kind of capped
mm-hmm.
in the paintball world. It's like I'm not going to get that much. Maybe I can bring it up to $1 million, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all these other things that added, added all these extra income streams. A lot of times we're winning companies for company outings.
Yeah, I was about to ask about that.
Yeah, they call like a paintball park to do paintball, and then they call us to compare prices, and we're like, hey, not only we'll give you paintball, but you have a group of 15 guys, we'll add on 4 zip lines, and or you can do like paintball and laser tag, or
mm-hmm.
you can do some rope scores and zip, so you combine, you give them a package where the price now is similar to what they were offered somewhere else, and it's like a no-brainer. They're like, oh, we're going there. So anybody that calls us that's been price shopping, 95% of those people will come here. They will beat them.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, I'm like, I'll price match and add this extra. So there's no reason why you should go to another spot.
Yeah, man, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Who are the key players in your business and how have they helped your company grow?
Well, obviously my business partner
mm-hmm.
and me. are would be the top key players. Mm-hmm. I'm more of operations and making sure making sure things run smoothly and with our employees. My business partner is more in the financial part of the business. If we need a loan or we need to anything like that. And because I moved to California, he comes and checks up on things.
Oh, nice.
But other than us two, then we have two managers mm-hmm. that run the place throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're open 363 days a year. So we only close for Christmas Day and Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, wow.
So they run operations day to day. And then that's pretty much key players.
Mm-hmm.
You could say we had a person that was our head maintenance guy,
mm-hmm.
which unfortunately 2 weeks ago he moved on to another company.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of a key player too, because there's a lot of maintenance and
yes.
building and stuff going on here. But we already figured out how to replace him without having to bring a new person.
Oh, wow.
So we just hire crews, come do whatever we need quick, pay a little more and, mm-hmm. and be done. And then obviously, you know, all our employees, we have about 40 people working mm-hmm. here, mainly part-time. We have three or four full-time. The rest is part-time,
mm-hmm.
come on the weekends. Mm-hmm. During the week, we have one or two kids. And I say kids because a lot of the employees are between 16 and 19 years old.
Oh, wow.
But that's that. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Nice. Okay. So two more questions. What's next? Will you be franchising or starting a new venture?
No franchising. I love this business, but mm-hmm. I don't know if I would want to have two or three.
It's not really?
And I think we're not capped here.
Mm-hmm.
I think this can grow a lot more still.
Yes.
So until it reaches that point of, okay, what else can we do
mm-hmm.
with all this extra money?
Mm-hmm.
As of right now, a lot of the money that comes in, we'll reinvest in the business
nice.
Until we reach that point. So, and my partner owns 3-4 other businesses.
Oh,
I own 2-3 other businesses
mm-hmm.
separate from this,
mm-hmm.
nothing to do with this. So we're busy, you know, doing other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had to franchise, now I have to travel back and forth between
mm-hmm.
two spots, making
yeah.
sure, because we got to be here. It's not like we have a business that's pretty much on autopilot.
Mm-hmm.
We own a body shop in Raleigh.
Oh, okay.
We have a manager there, and he great employee. He takes care of everything. We
mm-hmm.
barely, all we do is check our account, make sure we have enough money, and
mm-hmm.
we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you need a lot more hands-on
mm-hmm.
watching, making sure everything's running smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more components to this business than to a body shop.
Right. Okay. Good stuff. Okay. And my last question is, what advice could you give an entrepreneur about managing growth?
Well, there's so I can talk for hours on tips on what to do. I actually do, me and my partner sometimes give a seminar on key factors for growth, how to grow your company. But your employees, make sure your employees are happy and you take care of them.
Yeah.
It's very important
mm-hmm.
if you don't want to have a big turnover or
mm-hmm.
and you want to keep them motivated. Test things, split testing. I don't know if you're listening, but A-B split testing everything you do.
Wow.
And A-B split testing means, so if, let's say you're doing an advertisement.
Yep.
Run an advertisement
mm-hmm.
with this text, another one with another text, and it's like, which one performs better?
Right.
See conversion rates, all that stuff. So know your numbers, basically. Know your all your analytics. Make sure you analyze everything, your traffic, why the traffic is high today and low the next day or
yes.
from the year before. Because you might get more revenue, but if you're spending more money and you don't realize, it's like, oh, yeah, we're making more money. Yeah, but we're spending more money here. It's not converting into more profit.
Mm-hmm.
So check your numbers. Make sure you take care of your employees. And then customer service is one of our biggest priority here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things I hate the most if somebody walks out with a bad review.
Oh, wow.
And write us a review. a bad review. And I try to manage those and try to get them to remove them. Mm-hmm. You know, I offer whatever I can offer. I've had people come and do their birthday party, spend $600-$700, and then in the end, I refund all their money just to save that bad review.
Yeah, because it matters.
Because it matters, yeah. When I'm looking at a business and I go to Google and I see they have 2-star, I'm like, I wonder why. Now, if it's 2 stars and there's only 1 review, I'm like, okay, this was just a pissed off customer. Yeah. But if they have 50 reviews and still have 2-star, I'm like, okay, there's something wrong with this business. And I'm sure people look at that a lot in every business. So we try, you know, and we're pretty high up there. I think we're like at a 4.8 rating.
Yeah.
In Google.
Yeah.
Yelp is the only one that we have like a 3.8, I believe. And it's because Yelp algorithms suck, I think. If that's another advice. Don't trust anything on Yelp because it's a very unfair system that they have. So.
And a lot of their reviews are antiquated as well. I don't think
they
manage that well.
And they have a system. It's a stupid system. Actually, yesterday they called me again trying to get me to do business with them. I'm like, until I told you guys, when you change your algorithms, I will. Because what happens is if you send, like, it's, let's say people come here. I'm like, hey, go write us a, you liked it, you had fun. Can you write us a review on Yelp? And they go and write it. If you are a brand new Yelper.
Mm-hmm.
And have no followings or people or whatever, like,
they lost in the shuffle.
Well, no, they eliminate that review.
I didn't know they eliminated it.
They hide it. So
I knew they did that.
They hide it, but you have to know where to find the hidden ones.
See, I didn't know you can find them.
Yeah, you can, but that's what I'm saying. Most people don't know. You go and see the review, and the average doesn't include those.
Wow.
Now, if you have a person that reviews a lot and is active on Yelp, those count. But if that's the type of guy that it's always reviewing with when he's pissed off and he goes and this guy's 2-star, this one's 1, well, that review's gonna count. And I went over and over with Yelp about that. Oh, it's just to keep it fair so that I'm like, no, that's not fair. You let me keep my bad reviews out of spite because I'm gonna have 10 people come and write me a review out of, you know, giving me a hand. Oh, but that's fake. I'm like, no, it's not fake. If I have 10 people that came and had fun and I said, can you please write me a review? And they do. There's nothing fake about that.
That's not.
So it's a ridiculous system. We hate it. So Yelp doesn't count for us. TripAdvisor, we were okay. And then we had 2-3 years ago, which is when we were making a lot of changes. We had some bad reviews. But I just spoke to somebody at TripAdvisor, and because we renovated, we changed the name and everything, they're going to eliminate all our reviews and we'll start with a fresh slate.
Yeah.
But yeah, reviews wise, that's why I say customer service and Groupon. We do Groupons a lot, and we have, I don't know how many thousands reviews, and you know, maybe we have like 60-70 negative ones. And most of our negative reviews are like, I had to wait in line too long, or, you know, it's just dumb stuff that you're like, really? You know? I came there and my gun wasn't working. I'm like, I'm pretty sure we gave you another gun and you kept playing. It's like, so I know which reviews I'm worried about. We had a customer come and legitimately be angry because one of our employees offended her. Didn't mean to, but it did. And I'm like, okay, that's a valid. So we try to fix everything before they leave.
Right before they leave.
So that they don't go back and, you know, because that's the first thing I say. I'm like, I don't want you to leave here. Write us a bad review. What can I do
to make you
happy? And some people, no matter what you say, they will not be happy. Last year or the year before, we were doing the Halloween event. And this was the only person that complained out of 3,500 people we had. The first complaint was because she had to wait too long in line. I'm like, if you go to Disney World or any park, you might wait 2 hours to get into a ride. But so it was an hour wait. And she had a regular ticket. I'm like, you know, we have VIP tickets that make you skip the line. She's like, I'm not paying an extra. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then, so she's mad. She's like, I want my money back. I'm like, I'll tell you what. I will put you on the VIP line. You don't have to wait. You can go and you're happy. He's like, no, I want my money back. I'm like, I'll tell you what. I'll put you on the VIP line. I'll refund all your money, and you can still ride with your family, so you have a good experience. My key thing here is, nope. I'm like, well, there's nothing else I can do. I'm like, I've offered you everything for free. You're already upset, but I'm like, you came here for this. Might as well enjoy it for free. Mm-hmm. No, and that's why I say, I guess you're just set in your way that mm-hmm. you just don't want to be happy today. Mm-hmm. So that's fine, mm-hmm. you know. So I still gave her money back, and I said, you know, we're sorry. And so keeping customers happy all the time is not an easy task. No. But we do our best. We get a lot of compliments because of our customer service, mm-hmm. too. So that keeps me happy. A lot of my employees get a lot of compliments. And I see a lot of them get tips. And I say, when you guys get tips, that means you're doing something good.
Yes.
So, because it's not a common thing to tip here in this type of parks.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. I never thought of it to tip, but that makes sense. Yeah, good service.
So,
good tip.
So that's it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Hey, no
problem.
I
appreciate you allowing me to come. Hopefully I didn't take up too much of your time.
No,
I really appreciate it. And this concludes my interview for ENT 30. I hope you guys enjoyed it, because I know I did.